trying to tell me something. He chose the cross that we might know him forever. We were talking this morning about celebrations and remembering what had happened a long time ago with Esther. And tonight we're going to look at another passage from the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy in chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframes of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large flourishing cities, cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is the word of the Lord. So we were speaking this morning about celebrations and remembering the past. And this evening I just want to look at this short passage, and I've entitled it Faith for Life. Faith for Life. And way back at the beginning, the Israelites were given a way to remember. They were told to fasten them on their hands and their heads and on their gates and on their doors. And it's become quite obvious, isn't it, lately, that faith and religion is seen by many people as something that we should keep private. A member of our parliament from some years ago, I won't name him, once he was in parliament, no longer said, I didn't want to talk about my faith too much. I didn't want people to think I was a nutter. And again on the television and radio we hear, religion is a private matter. Keep it at home. Don't let it affect what you do elsewhere. In contrast, the Bible tells us that our faith is something that should affect every aspect of our lives. I may have told you this before in another sermon in a different context, but a few years ago, I think it was 10 years ago now, which is rather scary, John and I were on holiday in Switzerland, in Davos. And one of the prettiest of places, Davos, all the hotels were a bit modern and plain, and it's not quite so picturesque as some of the rest of Switzerland. But everywhere we went, we kept bumping into Orthodox Jews. And you could tell that they were Orthodox Jews because all the ladies wearing long skirts, and they all had headscarves, a lot of them, and the men all had their long black coats on, even though it was very hot, and some of them had the ringlets down the front and the hats. And we said to the travel rep, what's going on? And they said, oh, every year the Orthodox Jews take over one hotel and they just come here. But they were not afraid to be seen as different. They were not afraid to show by the things that they wore, in particular, who they were and what faith they belonged to. The same happened one time we were down in Carmarthen, in the university down there. There's a group of Orthodox Jews staying, and you knew exactly who they were. They were instantly recognizable. The words of this passage that we've just read remind us that faith in God, and for us, faith in Christ, is not a hobby. It's not a part-time occupation, but it is our life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9 are known as the Shema, one of the oldest prayers in existence. And it's recited daily by Jewish males over the age of 13, along with Deuteronomy 11 and Numbers 15. They sum up the essence of faith in theological terms, what we're supposed to believe, and practical terms, how we are supposed to live. Jesus reinforced this command when questioned about the greatest commandment. "What is the greatest commandment in the law, teacher?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And he adds a second, that would be to love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul, when writing to the Romans, affirmed that our response to God's love is to give our whole life to him. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will." What do we learn about our faith in these verses? The Lord our God is one God. Yes, we believe that God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he is one God. He is the sovereign God, the only God, the Lord alone. Again and again through the Old Testament, God says to his people, "I am God. I am the only God. No one can compare with me." There may be lots of other so-called gods around, but they don't really exist. You may worship idols, but they will do you no good. He is the Lord our God. But yet, even though he is so great and so mighty, the first thing he says to us is this: love the Lord your God. Love the Lord. Yes, we are to fear him in the sense that we are to hold him in awe and wonder and majesty, not in the sense that we quake in his presence or are afraid of him, but we are to love him. John wrote in his letter, "We love him, we love others because he first loved us." And our love is an expression of our personal commitment to God. And we love him with our heart. The heart. We say that, don't we, sometimes? "I love you with all my heart." The heart is the center of our being. It's also the center of our understanding and of our will and of our emotions. It involves everything. It's not a sloppy sort of "I love you." It's a love that is certain and sure. It's a love that will make us do whatever God wants us to do. And it's a love that comes because we understand. So we've just been singing what he is and what he has done for us. We love him with our heart. We love him with our soul, with all our life, with all our strength, and with all our might. We're determined to love him. And this love affects the whole of our life. It's true, isn't it? Even in human terms, in personal terms, if we love somebody, it will affect our life. You know, those first days, those first dates, you know, you can't sleep, you can't eat, you wait for the phone to ring, you wait for the door to knock, you count in the hours, you count in the seconds. Because your love affects the way that you live. Because of that love, you make a choice that you will be with that person. Because of your love, you make a choice that you will try and please that person. And we love God. And so it should affect the whole of our lives. We love children. When they are born, we make up our minds that we would do anything to look after them, to take care of them, to do our best for them. Why? Because we love them. Love, as the song goes, changes everything. And if I say I love God, if you say you love God, if you love Jesus, if you're grateful to him for what he has done for you, I'm grateful to him for what he has done for me. It should make a difference to my life. And here we read in Deuteronomy, these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts, not just in our heads. You know, I'm sure if we all tried, we might just about be able to remember to quote the Ten Commandments. Learned them at school or Sunday school. Those of you who are older probably learned the very long version. And those of us who are a bit younger just learned the 10. But it's not just about quoting them. It's about knowing them in our hearts and letting them take root there. You know, Jeremiah wrote that God was going to make a covenant with his people and he will put their law in their minds. So first of all, you've got to know it. And then he would write it on their hearts. Is it in your head what God wants you to do? Is it in my heart that I want to do it? And it just talks about how we should allow our faith to influence our lives and the lives of the people that we meet. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So with our families, we need to reflect the love of God. That doesn't mean we have to badger them all the time about God and about faith. We need to reflect the love of Jesus. Our conversations. Other people should know by the way that we speak that we belong to God. Our home life. When we are at home, we are to obey the commandments. When we are outside the home, walking along the road, we are to obey God's commandments. When we lie down, when we're at rest, when we get up, from the moment we wake up in the morning till the moment we drop off to sleep, not quite sure what happens while we're asleep, but for the time that we are awake, we should be thinking about God's commandments and obeying them. because we love Him. There's a song that we sometimes sing, it's just coming into my head. Is it, every step I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way with me, in me. Every moment we're awake, not just an hour Sunday night, an hour Sunday morning, half an hour here and there. Is Christianity your hobby? Is it your part-time occupation? Or is it your life? This is what it says here. There's an old, I think it was a Graham Kendrick song. And one of the lines says this. Jesus, you are always very dear to me. Seems that my affairs, they fill my mind. Never mind, I'm sure you'll understand my situation. Please accept my Sundays and the dog ends of my time. I'm sure we're not like that here. But sometimes it's easy to drift off, isn't it? And this passage in Deuteronomy reminds us that whenever we're awake, we should be living for our Lord. And the people were told to tie the laws on their hands and on their heads. And as I say, when we saw the Orthodox Jews in Davos, not quite so much in Carmarthen, I don't think, we saw several people, several of the men, with the boxes, the phylacteries, on their heads, taped around, and on their arms, containing the Word of God. And that just made me think that we don't tie anything onto our hands. But when we think about God and His love, it should make us careful about what we do. What do we do with these hands? We sometimes think Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all. And our hands should serve Him. Sometimes we taught the children, be careful, little hands, what you do. We don't tie anything on. But do we remember? Everything we do should be done in the name and for the glory of Jesus. Everything that we do should be done for the good of others. Everything that we do should be done in His name and for His glory. And on our heads, a lot goes on in our heads, doesn't it? We hope. We don't tie anything on there. But knowing Jesus, knowing God, should affect the way that we think. We are people who should think. Yeah, I once read that you don't leave your brain at the door when you become a Christian. We need to think. I once read of an American evangelist's wife who said, the Christian story is so lovely, I'd believe it even if it wasn't true. Really? I don't think so. What are we thinking? What are we putting into our minds? Good stuff or not such good stuff? Because the way we think will affect the things that we say. Jesus said, as a man thinks, so he is. What are we thinking? What are we seeing? What are we hearing? What are we saying? The whole of our head should be affected by our faith in Christ. On the doorpost at home, on the city gate, when you go out. When my father was working in Grangetown and other places, he quite often had to go and screw on mezuzahs onto the doors of Jewish people. I don't know what you've got in your home that reminds you that you are a Christian. I suppose you could have all the texts up in the world and it not make one iota of difference. Have you got anything that reminds you when you wake up in the morning that you belong to God? When we got engaged, somebody gave us a present that said, rising of the sun, the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And it's been in our porch all our married life. So it's in the home and when we go out as well. You've got something that reminds you? I'm not saying you could have text plastered all over your walls. It's silly. you got something in your home? A Bible readily available? A prayer card? Just something that reminds you when you get up, you belong to Jesus. And when we go out, let's remember that wherever we go, we are representatives of Jesus. We've been doing a study on 2 Corinthians in church, and we're just about to start 4 studies on being ambassadors for Christ. Wherever you go, wherever I go, we take the name of Jesus with us. And we either bring it honor or we bring it into disrepute. There's an Orthodox Jews still today take this literally. Phylacteries on their heads and left forearms for morning prayers. Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 11 and Exodus 13. And mezuzahs have the same passage attached to a door or a gate. Today we carry God's word in our minds and in our hearts. And our faith should affect every part of our lives. Our love for God leads to love for our neighbours and love for each other. And Jesus says that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Not because we must, but because we may. Not because we are in fear, but because we are in love. Not because we hope to get wonderful rewards, but because we want to please him. Faith affects every part of our lives. Of course, we have to be careful. We were listening, as I said this morning, to Jeff Lucas talking about Esther, and he was saying that, yes, we must decide to stand up for Jesus. Sometimes we need to be careful about how we do it. And the one thing that will affect people more than anything else is our own personal testimony of Jesus. What he has done for you, what he has done for me, what he is doing for us now, how we find that we could not live without him. We can pass that on to others. And it is for life. You know the old saying, a dog isn't just for Christmas, it's for life. And if I can put it without being irreverent, Jesus isn't just for eternity. Jesus is for now. Jesus isn't just for Sundays, Jesus is for every day. Jesus isn't just for occasionally, he's for every second of every day that we live here on earth and for the whole of eternity. Jesus is forever. And so we cannot live our lives for him without letting him affect our lives. Even if some people don't like it. But remember, always let our conversation be seasoned with salt, with grace, not with hatred and disgust. When John and I were married, we're talking not about John and I tonight, we sang as our final hymn. A hymn that we don't sing anymore. It's a bit sad. It's a lot we don't sing anymore. So I'm not even sure I can remember the whole lot. But the first verse said this: fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise, that my whole being may proclaim your wisdom and your ways. Praise in the common things of life, its goings out and in. Praise in each duty and each task, however small and mean. So shall each earthly part of me from sacred... You get the idea. Fill thou my life with praise. Not just for 20 minutes on a Sunday night while we sing hymns, that, as great as that is. But every part of our lives, what we think, what we hear, what we say, what we do, where we go, everything for Jesus, everything given to to him. You know, we sing that lovely hymn, don't we? We sing it so often. And we get through it and I think, did we really mean that? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Those are big words, aren't they? That's what God is saying to the people here in Deuteronomy. That's what he's saying to us here tonight. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And don't we have even more reason to love the Lord our God? Because we have met with Jesus, the one he promised all the way back in the Old Testament, the one that was waited for. We have met him, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. And he has saved us and brought us into his family, into his kingdom. And so he says to us tonight, love the Lord. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, do it for him. There's an old Gaelic prayer. I want to read it as we finish. I'm not going to read it all, just part of it. I bind unto myself today the strong arm of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to speech, his heavenly host to be my guard. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me. Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. Do we bind ourselves to him today? Do we bind his word into our hearts? Will we promise we will always, with his help, live our lives to please him? The poet and hymn writer George Herbert wrote, 7 whole days, not 1 in 7, will I praise thee. Is that my desire this evening? Is that your desire as we go into this new week? Doesn't mean we've always got to be praying. We haven't got time. Doesn't mean we've always got to be reading the Bible. You know, some people have to go to work. There are things that we have to do. But above all, are we wanting in everything that we do to remember him? I sang about the cross. When we remember the cross, don't we want to give our hearts to Jesus even more and serve him day by day?